And now, the internationally recognized, critically acclaimed, world famous Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
I just put it anywhere.
Tabs of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Everybody, this portion of the Phil Hendry Show brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. Come on in for that slow-roasted prime rib, cooked all day long. Oh, God, it's good. Oh!
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your...
Ted Bell joins us, the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills. You got season tickets for the Dodgers?
I do have season tickets, and I have followed the Dodgers. You know, and I don't want to talk just about the Dodgers, Phil, because I know you want me to talk more about... the situation at the team.
Well, everybody has their favorite team. You happen to be a season ticket holder. How much of those seats? You have four. What are they?
They're called infield. They're infield box seats, and they're about $8,500 a year.
Wow, that's four of them.
Yeah, but here is the question that I had when I talked to Mike Mathers, my attorney earlier. I have season tickets for the Dodgers. I followed the Dodgers faithfully since I was a kid. My father took me to a Dodger game in the 70s, and when I was in grade school, I remember Steve Garvey, Ron Say.
All those guys.
Yeah, so when I got into business and you know, knock wood, experienced success in business, I had the resources. I purchased four season tickets that we use as a family, we also use for our business.
Now, you were talking with me earlier about Sean Green, who plays first base and he plays outfield for the Dodgers, a very pivotal member of the Dodgers.
Absolutely. First of all, no one is a bigger fan of Sean Green than me. And what he has meant to this team, and I respect Sean, his religious choices. The problem that I've got, and I want to be very clear, is with the Dodger organization, which goes out, and I think in a very arrogant way, the Dodger organization sells season tickets without giving people the full information that they have, you know, a Jew on the team who may want to take the Jewish holidays off.
What do you mean they don't tell people that they have a Jew on the team?
You know, well, first of all, I work in Beverly Hills, which has got a lot of them. You get familiar with their customs. The two main holidays of the Jewish faith are Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Now, these holidays happen to fall during the month of September. What month is that in the baseball season? That is the...
That's the stretch drive month. That's the pennant drive month.
That is right. Stretch drive period. And you get this young man who is very important to your team, and suddenly he says, oh, well, I got to take some time off and do some kind of a Jewish thing, and you're missing a key player.
Well, are you saying you, had you known Sean Green was Jewish, you wouldn't have purchased season tickets?
No. What I'm saying is it's important information. The Dodgers should have imparted to their renewing and new season ticket holders the information that we have this wonderful young Jew on our team, and he may miss some games that are important. And
well, would you have purchased season tickets?
I probably would. I would have thought twice.
Why? Not because of anti-Semitism.
No. Please listen to me.
I just want to make sure that's not the message.
No, it's because the Dodgers aren't playing a key guy in the stretch drive, and their pennant chances get fouled up as a result. I don't want to be a part of it. Look, I don't need to waste my money on season seats only to have to watch my son, Zach Phil, who you know.
I do, a good kid.
Yeah, I don't want to see him have his heart broken when his team can't win the pennant because their player is off... You know, with his little skull cap on, and he's praying at a wall, or he's doing whatever he does.
Well, look, forgive me, Ted, but your concerns come off sounding, and I know you're a sponsor, but they come off sounding a little bigoted.
All right, but hold on for a minute.
No, but I'm not trying to offend you.
No, you hold it right there, and I want to be clear. I want to say something to you, and I want to say something to your listeners. My son, Zachary, his best friend is James Rosen, Bob Rosen's son. You know Bob.
Yes, I do.
He and I have done business for a long time. I've had Jewish people in our home, in our restaurant. I celebrated weddings, birthdays, and even funerals with Jewish friends. I live in Beverly Hills, California, which outside of Miami Beach in New York City has a higher concentration of these people than anywhere other than Israel. And for you to even intimate that there is bigotry in what I'm saying, I think is...
All right, can I back up?
I think it's insulting and defamatory.
Can I back up? Can I start all over again? First, I want to give our phone number out, and then I want to get into...
I want to be clear, though. I am not an anti-Semite, and I don't think it's fair to bring that up.
All right, that's fine. I just want to... I want to give our phone number out, and we'll continue our conversation. I'm talking with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking about the fact that Sean Green, who is Jewish, a member of the Dodgers, may take off Yom Kippur or part of the holiday... for a pivotal series, am I correct, with the Giants?
That is right. Now, So
let me start all over again here, though, and take back what I said then, and let me start and say, if your problem is you are unaware that the Dodgers had a Jewish player and that that player not playing due to the Jewish holiday during the pennant drive month of September might hurt the team and therefore would have changed your decision to buy season tickets, what is the solution?
Well, look, Phil, I got on the phone, I told you, with Chris Mathers, who's my attorney. We both said, look, we don't want to file a lawsuit. We don't want to go down that road. If the Dodgers could find a way to post before next season in any of the newspaper advertising they do, if they could include, most importantly, I think, in their season ticket renewal information, a statement that would inform potential or returning season ticket holders, you know what, we've got this Jew on the team, you may want to know that in case it changes your mind about getting tickets. And if they would agree to that, then it saves me the time of having to pursue this with my attorney.
But look, there are African-American players and Catholic players and so forth. Why, that doesn't have to, you know, they don't have to tell me their religion. Why are the Jewish players singled out because of the holiday?
Look, if Africans had the, you know, the Kwanzaa thing they do?
Yeah.
If they had that during the baseball season, then that would be a problem. Or whatever these Catholics do. Some of these, the holy days and these Station of the Cross, whatever they get their thrills doing. Can I ask you a question, Phil, that's a little bit off point?
Okay, go ahead.
I know you were raised Catholic. That's why I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
Marcy and I rented this Passions of the Christ. Is that what the Catholics call the Stations of the Cross?
Yeah, the Passion of the Christ, the movie, is basically the Stations of the Cross, meaning all the...
And what is that?
Well, all the indignities that Jesus suffered are relived, I guess, by observant Catholics. When, you know, like when he fell down, when he got his face wiped by that lady, when he was scourged.
And so you people sort of remember all of this?
Well, yeah, you're reminded of Jesus suffering, which seems to be central to the Catholic faith. Understand, I haven't practiced Catholicism in a long time, but it's central to the Catholic faith is to be cognizant of Jesus' suffering.
Okay, and you don't do this, you know, right in the middle of baseball season.
It actually falls at the beginning of baseball season.
But you don't have to take a day off for it.
No.
All right, see, that's what I'm saying. Only the Jewish faith decides to put its holidays right smack dab in the middle of a pennant drive. It's selfish. You got all these baseball fans, they sit there and they say, hey, I got a great idea. Why don't we have our holiday in the middle of a baseball season? And that way we can get millions of baseball fans to hate us along with everybody else. I think that...
Why do you need the attorney?
Because it's false advertising. Dodger season tickets, I have field box seats. Four of them run me over $8,500 a season. Now, I don't know about you or your listeners, but that's a significant amount of money. And I think for anybody to spend, and to spend it, and then not know they have this pivotal, it's very important young Jew, and then the next thing you know, Sean Green isn't in the lineup. The Dodgers blow a game here and there. And by October, your son is sitting there with a broken heart. And I don't want to see that. That's the only point I'm trying to make here.
All right. The solution, therefore, is for the Dodgers or any team, I would imagine, that has a Jewish player to say in their season ticket renewal notices that come in the mail, because I don't...
They come in the mail, and they could put something in there that says, you know, we have a Jew, you know, so-and-so is a Jew, he may not play during September, which is a very pivotal time in the baseball season. If they do that, then, you know, there's an old saying, four informed is forearmed, something like that.
Yeah, you get the information. You.
Yeah, if you have information, you know what to do. And I don't know if there's any other these Jewish players and other teams, but I would appreciate that. That way, it keeps me from filing litigation.
You would file the Dodgers a lawsuit for what, false advertising?
I wouldn't file a lawsuit. I would just pursue it with my attorney to find out if myself, along with a lot of other Dodger fans, do we have recourse to get our money back for the season tickets? Because they didn't tell me they had this kid, who's this Jew kid, and he's playing, first base, very important player, and he is...
You know, when you say Jew kid, this is what I'm saying.
What?
It sounds...
I'm saying he's a Jewish young man, Phil.
When you say they got this Jew kid, it sounds a little...
You know... The problem that I have is people such as yourself looking for bigotry.
And no, I'm not. I'm just... It's language, I guess.
Well, that's your purview. I'm a restaurant owner. You know, I'm just saying, let me know when I renew. I see the thing. Sean Green is this Jew, you know, this Jew, whatever, however you want me to say it, and he's may not play.
And that way, you may not renew your season seats. You may not renew your...
Well, at least you have the information.
All right, Ted Bell joins us on the Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. And this is a little specific, but it actually transcends baseball. We're talking about a Jewish player for the Los Angeles Dodgers by the name of Sean Green, a terrific ball player who may sit out a couple of games during the Yom Kippur holiday, Yom Kippur religious observation, I should say. And Sean is important to the team. The Dodgers have, I think, a very pivotal series coming up against the Giants, and Mr. Bell is a season ticket holder who is saying the Dodgers didn't say up front to season ticket holders, by the way, we have a Jewish player who may not play, a pivotal member, and therefore, you know, if he doesn't play, it could blow the Dodgers' chances for a pennant. Not that I would necessarily agree with that. He feels the Dodgers and any ball club with Jewish players should let you know beforehand that they have Jewish players and that they may not play during Yom Kippur. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And later on tonight, Clara Bingham will talk about a tour she took of hurricane-ravaged Florida. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Very well, you will kiss the gunner's daughter. Take him below for the makings.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
This portion of Ted's of Beverly Hills sponsoring the Phil Henry Show.
Thanks very much, Judy. Hey, this is Ted Bell. Come on down for a family private dinner on Sunday. Ted's of Beverly Hills, the best meat in the whole world.
We want to put our meat in your...
Ted Bell and Ted's of Beverly Hills sponsor. You're at the restaurant right now, huh?
Well, absolutely, Phil. It's Friday night, and it's a big night for us. And I would like to be at the ballpark tonight because the Dodgers are playing the Giants. But I can tell you that I don't want anyone in your listening audience to get the idea that I am anti-Semitic. I am simply saying for the season ticket holder of the Los Angeles Dodgers, if we can be informed before the season starts that there is a Jewish, a good young Jewish guy on the team, then I can say, oh, okay, Yom Kippur, he won't be playing. And if he's important, he could blow the whole pennant drive for them. Do I want to invest my money in a team that knows they got this, the Jew kids but playing first base, and he isn't playing, next thing you know, seller. No. That's not me. That's not Ted Bell. I'm Ted Bell. I invest in winners, and that's why I've invested in the Dodgers. But if they want to go loser on me, if they want to turn yellow, you know.
All right, I understand. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Should the Dodgers warn season ticket holders about the Jewish player they have so that he may not play on Yom Kippur, which means he may not play in a pivotal series, which means they may not be getting the very best product on the field. Here is Mike. Mike, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell.
Yeah, good morning. Good evening.
Pardon me. Yes, sir. How are you?
Ted, I just think you're off base on this. I'm not Jewish.
Are you season ticket holders, sir?
Beside the point.
Listen, the
Jewish faith has been around for thousands of years, long time, long before baseball ever came around. If this is important to him, a person should do what's important to him. If it's more important to him to be on the field, then he'll be on the field. But this is important to him, and if he and the Dodgers have that agreement between them, then so be it.
I'm not disagreeing with you, sir. I am saying, I think Sean Green, if he wants to do what he does, that's good for him. I'm saying the Dodger organization needs to warn its season ticket holders they got this Jew kid, they got this Jewish boy, and he's not going to play. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, Mike.
To perform, not an individual player.
Are you the host of the show, Phil?
Yes, I'm the host.
Why are you letting him talk over you?
Hold on, Mike and Ted, hold on. Just so we understand, Ted is not finding fault with Sean's Jewish affiliation, correct, Ted?
No, But I'm not Jewish, and you know, I'm not. A lot of their customs are interesting, but no, the Dodgers should have put in one of their season ticket renewals. Hey, we hired this kid. You know, he's a skullcap wearer, whatever you want to say. They could be light and humorous about it. He's not going to play. That's all I'm saying.
You're not coming off that way.
I made myself very clear. You started talking about, well, if you don't like Sean Green's religion, no, I don't have any problem with it. I'm talking about the Dodgers. Where are you calling?
You have a problem.
Let me ask you a question.
That's the reason why he's not going to be on the field.
I don't have a problem with his
religion. But you have a problem with it.
No, I don't. Where are you calling from? Where are you calling from?
California, Northern California.
There you go, a giant fan. There you go, a giant fan.
No,
you're a lousy, stinking giant fan. And you can't. One of the problems with the Giants, they got wax in their freaking ears. And
hold on, the man said he's a Dodger fan.
I'm not a Giant fan. I'm a huge Dodger fan. I lived in L.A. for 12 years.
Well, you're not coming off that way. That's what you said to me. You said I wasn't coming off that way. You're not coming off that way.
I'm a fan of the team.
Wait, he likes the team.
Well, so you like the organization not letting me know they got a Jew playing for him? You like that?
Well, see, is it your problem that a person is going to take some time off, or is your problem with the fact that he's a Jew?
I got no problem with him being a Jew. I got a problem with the Dodgers not telling me he's not going to play on Yom Kippur.
No, you don't.
Okay, well, then you're not a Dodger fan. You're a Giant fan, and I can tell you're a Giant fan.
I'm absolutely
because you got
a
wad of wax in each ear, and that's Giant fans for you. Yeah.
You're way off on this.
Why don't you go worship at the shrine of Juan Marichal?
If you're going to turn it personal, then I'll say the word.
You're telling me that I'm a liar. You're calling me a liar.
I'm calling you a liar.
You're
flat out big.
Well, you're
a flat out
Giant fan. San Francisco Giant fan.
And
San Francisco Giant fans are lower than low. Because they're the ones, bigots, the Giants are the bigots. They're the ones that beat Johnny Roseboro with a bat. Yeah.
I don't know anything about the Giants.
Hey, the Giants beat up Johnny Roseboro with a bat because they don't like blacks.
What are you talking about? Juan Marichal, who did it, was black.
No.
You are unbelievable.
Hey, dude. Forget it.
You're way off on this.
Mike, thanks.
Well, you know, if I'm off, I'm off on the facts, but you don't even know what my argument is.
All right, I gotta go to another call. 1-800-449-8686.
Boy, that really crossed my rear end. This guy calls up and says...
No, I understand. I gotta go to another call. Let's go over here to Dave. Go ahead, Dave.
No, this guy is wacko. He needs to read his season ticket. The Dodgers do not guarantee any specific player is going to be on the field at any specific time.
Well, because of injury.
You're buying your admission to be able to go to an entire season.
No, it doesn't say that. It does not say that.
Of great baseball.
Well, first of all, you're wrong. It doesn't say that. It doesn't.
Hold on, guys. I got a lot of people talking over each other, so hold on for a minute. Now, what are you saying, Ted?
First of all, the guy doesn't know what he's talking about. It doesn't say that on the ticket. It never has said that on the ticket. He's making it up so he can create an argument. It doesn't say anything about players. It says weather. It says a lot of things. It doesn't say anything about players.
So let's say that there's a...
So your premise, so you call up, you made up that premise, and you expect me to continue talking to you?
Let's say that there's a baseball player who gets his wife pregnant 9 months from that time frame. They're going to have a baby. Do they have to tell you that potentially 9 months from now someone may not be able to play because they're giving birth?
Where's this guy calling from, Phil?
Why does it matter?
Where's he calling from?
Portland, Oregon.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, real big league town up there. Hey, when's the last time the Yankees came through, huh? And I ain't talking about guys wearing a big top hat with a striped vest. Jesus.
And you're concerned
that your kid is going to go to a big league ball game, you call me up.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. There's too much confusing talk going on here, okay?
No, there's no confusing talk. I know what I'm talking about. That guy's a dumbass. He's calling from Portland, Oregon. The last time they saw a major league team in Portland, Oregon, well, they've never seen a major league team. What am I saying?
What about the Trailblazers?
They've never seen a major league team.
They won an NBA title.
They've never seen a major league team.
1-800-449-8686. Should the Dodgers tell people they got a Jewish player because he might not play in Yom Kippur? Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The eighth wonder of the world. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Tabs of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come
saying, do you like liver? It sounds disgusting, doesn't it? Not the way we make it at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Calf's liver wrapped in onion and bacon. Mmm!
Ted Bell with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. So we can be clear, we got people calling in, and we're talking about something that is always going to be potentially explosive, and that is a man's religion and its place in his work.
And again, Phil, I am very resentful of having been portrayed as an anti-Semite on your show. I am not...
I'm not portraying you that way. I'm simply saying to you, I want to be clear. You have a problem with the Dodger organization. They have a Jewish ball player. They don't tell you that he's Jewish because you know that he may take Yom Kippur off.
No, he will take one or two of the days of Yom Kippur off. There's no doubt about it. These Jewish guys... I got a friend of mine, Jim Saul, who lives in Miami. Jim is the least religious guy you know. But by God, every time this Yom Kippur comes around, this guy, you'd swear to God he was a rabbi. This is the way these Jewish guys are. So here comes Sean Green. And
this is the way these Jewish guys are. Well, my agent, David Katz, is Jewish.
Okay, what's he doing today?
Well, he's taking off the holiday.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is this. You know, Phil, I got a problem with Sean Green. The Dodgers should say, find a way to keep the place first base. Is one of these Jews, and he's going to want to take one of the days.
Is one of these Jews. The reason why people personify or perceive you to be anti-Semitic is this.
Look, Phil, I'm a businessman. I'm not a broadcaster like you. I don't pick the right words, but I'm saying, tell me so I know he won't be playing.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number. Lorraine, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi there.
Hi.
I don't know why you're belaboring the point about identifying Jewish ball players on the Dodgers team, because
oh my God.
It wasn't a problem for you, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
He may not play, and if he doesn't play, then I don't want to buy season tickets if he's not going to play, because
you should let me finish speaking.
Well, I'd like to let you finish, but the premise that you're presenting here, you're not listening to what I've...
Well, you just let her listen,
listen to what you said. And I listened to all your other comments.
Look at that. You know, one of these days, Lorraine, I'd like you to come down.
You're a very rude man.
No, I'd like you to come down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. I'll buy you a Ted, and we can talk about it, you know?
No, thank you.
Come on, go ahead, Lorraine. Go.
Now, what I was saying was that I don't know why he's belaboring the point, because if it wasn't a problem, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And it sounds to me by your comments that you made that you're very bigoted.
No.
With the way you describe people.
I blame Phil Henry for this, by the way.
With the way you describe people of the Jewish faith by calling them those people, you kids, I'm offended.
Oh, are you kidding me or what? You've got to be a Giant fan.
Offended.
Are you a Giant fan? Are you a Giant?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, there you go, man.
I
know
love Tommy
you,
Lasorda.
Giant fan. You people are the most touchy-feely bunch. Look. All I'm trying to say is if they're not putting a guy on the field who's pivotal to the pennant drive, they should let me know. I may not want to buy tickets for a team that may not be putting the best players on the field.
Ted, so you should have known that, because Sean Green has always been Jewish, and we all know it when the Dodgers hired him.
Excuse me, if I'm supposed to know it, then why do we have advertising disclaimers that say, by the way, this, by the way, something else, if I'm supposed to know it? Why don't the Dodgers? Look, I told the Dodgers, and it was a joke, but they got offended. Why don't they cut the bill off of his cap so that he's got just the Hebrew deal, you know? And
That's funny.
That's not even funny.
Oh, are you kidding me?
You know what? You're the one who's touchy-feely if you're crying about this, about your
season. I'm not crying about it. I'm just simply saying they disclaim. In my business, I got to put a disclaimer. And if the Dodgers don't... Your last name's... What is your last name? Rothman? Yeah.
What is your problem?
I got no problem. Phil, when you get these callers on that are Giant fans, they come from the Bay Area. They're all up there doing yoga.
I don't come from the Bay Area. I live here. I love Tommy Lasorda, and I have supported the Dodgers team, too.
Well, but you're a Giant fan, and you all come from that touchy-feely Pilates place.
But that's your response.
See, Ted,
and I don't know why you've stayed on the phone so long crying about this.
I happen to be the guest. Okay, you're the call.
Well,
you know, I'll tell you something.
That's very interesting.
I sponsor an hour of this radio show, and part of the situation...
Let me explain it. Ted's one of our sponsors. He had a problem with the Dodgers not saying that Sean Green was Jewish because he won't play, and therefore, if he doesn't play, they're not putting the best players out there, and why would he want to invest in...
I understand
yeah.
that.
Okay, good.
Well, understands you, but when I say it, she thinks I'm talking Hebrew. Sounds like she's sitting on a feather over there with all that laughing. You know,
you're a very rude man. I would never come to your place of business.
Look,
I would not give you any business.
Come over to my place. I'll get you the prime rib and the pork loin and a free Ted, which is a rum and coke.
No, thank you.
Okay, well, then you go ahead and be a hard ass about it. But here's the thing.
No.
Every time you look at a movie, it says this may not reflect actual people and anything is coincidental and all of that stuff. And we say we take that for granted. But the Dodgers don't have at the bottom, we, by the way, have got this Jew kid playing first base and he may not play on Yom Kippur. Why don't they put that?
Jew
kid. You know what? This conversation is ridiculous.
All right, look,
I'm going to hang up
Lorraine,
now
thanks.
And give somebody else
thank
the
you
floor.
For calling.
Oh, look at that. She's hanging up on me. I thought when you do a talk show, you're the one that cuts them off and...
Well, you know what, Ted? I was letting the lady have her say because you had been interrupting her. And
how is it that I'm coming off as the bad guy here? I don't understand this. When I called your show and I said, did I want to talk about this? And
it's the way you're saying it more than anything else. They got this Jew kid at first base. They got the Jew boy. Why don't they cut the bill off the cap so he can have the Hebrew deal, as you put it?
So what? I got millions of Jewish friends all over this country. I do business with these guys. And let me tell you something. They can do business.
Oh, no kidding. Huh? I bet you they're really tight with a dollar.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they are. Why? What's so funny? I don't know.
Well, never mind. Let me go to Kalen. Kalen, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah. All right. Basically, the way I see this is, you know, I can tell you right now, I'm a Giants fan and I'm a Bo Sox fan.
Oh, there you go.
I live in Eugene, Oregon.
Oh!
Okay. Biggest thing for me is that so what if he's Jewish? So what if he wants to take the day off? To me, it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that, I mean, there's players all the time that take days off for all different kinds of reasons. I mean,
no.
The Dodgers, did they know at
totally
the beginning
different.
Of the season
the Dodgers,
that he was going to
no.
take a day off?
The Dodgers
didn't
know this guy's
going to
take this time.
Year?
The Dodgers know this guy's going to take the time off, but they don't tell the fans. They
okay.
know the exact day he's going to take off. It's the Yom Kippur deal. Where they go, I don't know what they do. They beat their heads against the wall or whatever they do. And they don't tell anybody that, okay?
Well, the biggest thing for me, I could care less, I mean, about the organization, okay? My thing is I don't like the fact that Sean Green's taking it off. I mean, I understand
yeah,
it's his religion, but there's players that play on Christmas and Thanksgiving all the time in the NFL
religion,
and the
you know?
NBA.
It's his religion.
Yeah,
there's
religious players that play on Christmas all the time.
You want to be thankful he's taking a day off, because with him in the lineup, you guys haven't got a prayer and you know it.
You
want to get down on your knees and pray
right
whatever God you praise, and you want to get down on your knees and say thank you, Zeus, or
no,
whoever.
I'm going to say thank you, Bonds, because Barry Bonds is the best player that MLB's ever
yeah,
had.
You know what? You're right. Barry Bonds is a great player. And like so many other San Francisco Giants that went before him, he's got nothing but losers surrounding him. So good luck winning a World Series, which you haven't won since you've been in San Francisco.
Well, when was the last time L.A. went to a World
hey,
Series?
At least we could go down to the ballpark and see a trophy every now and again. What do you guys have in San Francisco? You got Barry Bonds, you got Bobby Bonds, you had Juan Marichal, and the rest of them losers. And I can tell
you... All right, so what... I don't want to talk baseball. We're talking thank you very much, Kalen, for your call.
No, I was enjoying talking to this guy.
No, he's done, okay? We're talking about the very substance here of Sean Green being Jewish. Scott, go ahead.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's the Red Sox, if it's the Yankees, it doesn't matter. The only thing on the back of that ticket is going to tell you that you got to watch out for foul balls and baseball bats.
Yeah, right. And it should say, by the way, this kid at first base, he's got the Hebrew thing going on, and he needs to...
he's got the Hebrew thing going on. He's a Jew kid.
There's not enough room on the back of the ticket, pal.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe you can figure out how they could get it on the back of the ticket, because otherwise, I have a case of false advertising against the Dodgers. I got one damn good Century City lawyer, and $8,500 a year for season tickets, and I go down there to see the Dodgers put their best players on the field, and Yom Kippur Sean Green is sitting there, and whatever he's doing, he's eating meat on one plate and cheese on another, whatever they do. And
well, get a Dodgers uniform, suit up, and take his place.
Brilliant.
Aren't you good
well,
at baseball?
Look at,
yeah, okay, thanks a lot.
Well, Ted,
this guy's an idiot.
No, he's not.
He's just get him out of here. Look, it's bad enough the Dodger that they, you know, that Dodger blue's the same shade of that blue the Hebrew fella uses on the flag. Now they got to give the fella the day off too. I'll tell you something right now. What they should do is cut that bill off. He's got the Hebrew skull cap.
All of those ideas are these real estate stupid ass bigoted ideas. But the fact remains. The man's going to take the time off, and I guess you're not renewing your season tickets, huh?
The Dodgers have lost my business. You think I'm going to go out and see them play the Giants without one of the greatest first basemen ever to play the game? It should say, watch out, we have a penny pincher at first. You know, I'm just kidding around now. I know you think I'm a bigot.
Yeah, that's it. Penny pincher at first base.
But I'll tell you, they've lost my business because they should have come right out with a big, they should have sent a huge envelope with a big Star of David on it saying, warning, warning, you know. You know what they should do at first base? Paint a big Star of David. Then you could, oh, yeah, that's right, the guy's Jewish, so I got to remember he's not going to be out there on Yom Kippur. And do they have any depth at first base? No. All right, cue the music, I'm done.
Don't tell me how...
Cue the music, I'm done.
Tell me how to do my show.
Watch out, I got a commercial message to make here.
Tats of Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
Hey, all kidding aside, everybody, shalom. Hey, have a hot Dodger. Wait a minute. Shalom, shalom. Come on down, and we got some kosher. I'm sure we can find something kosher for you, okay? Come on down to Ted's Beverly Hills.
What a jackass.
You know what? I'm going to cancel not only my Dodger tickets, but my advertising on your program. You'll hear from my attorney first thing in the morning. Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. Phil,
can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
Mazel tov.
Don't let him come back on like that. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up tonight, Clara Bingham, who went through the hurricane ravages of in the state of Florida, and also a feature called Walking Through the World named Frank Chubb, and we'll talk with Frank Chubb and what it's like having that name. James Hudnell will be with us with a new feature on our program called News for Immigrants Who Don't Speak English. And we'll also have our mailbag coming up tonight on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Pull your head out of your ass, plug into the world. The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, we have a flashback from our show on yesterday. Our show on yesterday, which was Thursday. Bobby Dooley was on, the head of the Homeowners Association of Western States, to say that her son Seth wants to win an iPod for the most magazine subscription, so she expects everybody in the community to buy a subscription, and that means everybody.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I would like to say to the lady, please. Please, don't, you're wasting time.
No, I'm here for you. I'm listening
no,
to you.
No, you're not there for me. I'm calling Mr. Henry
I
for
wanna
you.
Here. I want to be here
you
for you.
You have not the slightest idea of what it means to be a president.
I understand.
You should have been arrested for breaking into that house.
Well, why, when we
because
thought you had a heart attack?
You have nothing to do. You are just to make sure the streets are clean. And the people next door
I've
are not doing it. Look,
yeah.
My husband was president two different times.
Yeah.
I've never heard anything like this in my life.
Where do you live, dear?
That's none of your business.
No,
you are
you don't have
you
to
are
tell
a
me.
Disgrace.
I am
you are a disgrace to the people who are in different organizations.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
If you fell or you hurt yourself in your home, how are we going to get to you?
Look, lady. Look,
the door?
Lady.
Okay.
Listen, lady. I am over 21, and I have
are
been.
You saying-
and I have been in the military with my husband all over the world. Don't tell me what I am like.
Did you
I
dial
know
a
what I
well,
am
you know what?
Like.
I bet you dialed on a rotary phone, didn't you? Yeah.
No, I did
maybe
not. I did not.
Phone.
No, I did
if,
not.
Can I see something?
I'm living in a very exclusive neighborhood.
As I do.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
But you are teaching your son the wrong thing
well,
for the simple reason he is supposed to be selling the magazine,
you
not you.
You said your husband
and you're
was,
not supposed to be on the telephone.
I want to ask you something. You
and
said your
I was
a
girl
different
self, and you
who was Chester A. Arthur?
All right, now wait a minute, ladies, okay?
Well, she won't let me talk.
You've been talking all hour, Ms. Dooley. I want to hear from this lady. Now, Ms. Matthews?
Yes.
All right, you were an HOA, or your husband was HOA president.
But she
my
said he
husband,
was
yes, he was.
But
twice.
She said he was president twice. Now, who was he? Franklin
it's
Roosevelt?
None of your business who he was.
Were you
was.
Married to Franklin Roosevelt?
Oh, that's pretty funny.
You were married to Franklin Roosevelt.
Oh, aren't you funny? Aren't you a riot?
He is really out of order.
No, I want to
first and foremost, Mr.
Mr. Henry.
Mr. Henry, first
and foremost. Is it still fashionable in your neighborhood?
I was a Girl Scout leader, and my children were not allowed to go knocking on doors without an adult with them.
By the way, don't forget to pull the plug on the switchboard when you hang up.
What? Would you let this lady finish, please?
I'm sorry.
Listen, I'm finished. She is wrong, and anybody listening to your station,
you live in a neighborhood where it is still fashionable for you to have lawn jockeys on your front lawn, and you're complaining about me. I find that really disingenuous. I really do.
Oh, you use big words.
How do you know she has lawn jockeys?
Well, I think it's safe to assume.
And to have her husband go there instead of the boy. The boy is supposed to be selling a magazine, not the family.
Can you ring Aunt B for me?
I beg your pardon?
Nothing. He was making a joke.
Look, have your husband keep his snide comments.
Hear his snide comments.
Well, he asked, did you have to pull a plug to disengage yourself from the switchboard, or are you calling on a regular phone?
No.
All right.
It happens to be I was trained to talk on the telephone,
you
were not. Thank you, Mr. Henry.
And by the way, my name's Bobby. Why does she get to be Mrs.?
Because I'm having some respect for the lady. Mrs. Matthews.
Yes.
Why can't I be Miss Dooley?
Because you're Bobby.
How come she gets to?
Because, you know, age has its privileges, as they say.
Well, I think that's so Nazi.
How did you have...
You Nazis.
How did you happen to have her on the...
She's the president of a homeowners association.
I think it's very Nazi.
Of what country?
This person...
What country is she in?
Oh, my God, she wants to know what country we're in.
That's
right. We're in Yugoslavia.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
There's Bobby and her unacceptably idiotic husband, Steve, on... They were telling everybody to get those magazine subscriptions in for little Sethy Poo, their son. All right, let's talk to Vernon Dozier, who is going to join us on our show following the weekend, Monday night. Mr. Dozier, Coach Dozier, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Phil, thank you. I've got to tell you, you've got an entertaining program.
How's the election shaping up for you?
I think it's going to be, I think it's going to come down to the wire. I think this guy, Kerry, he's real good. Kerry's real cute. He's got a lot. He's got more up his sleeve, I'll tell you, than a tattooed sailor. And I will tell you something else about Senator Kerry. I spent time in the military. I was never in combat. But had I been in combat, I would have been a hell of a lot more of a gung-ho than this guy, because he was in combat, but I think he was just... I don't think he did jack. If I had been in the situation he had been in, I would have... Man, I hate to think what I would have done. I would have gone psycho. And Kerry, he's up there with his photographer going, get the picture of me here while I... See, if I'd been in combat, which I wasn't, I would have gone psycho. I would have shot, murdered, butchered. I would have butchered up a few villages. This guy, I don't trust him. Till I can find out he really butchered up some gooks, I don't want to vote for him.
All right, Vernon, coming up on the show Monday night. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world...
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
This hour, we will take a walk through the world of Frank Chubb. Frank Chubb will be my special guest. He's written a series of books on what it's like growing up and being a man with the name Frank Chubb. Also, this hour, we feature a new segment on our program called News for Newly Arrived Immigrants That Don't Speak English. James Hudnell will be delivering news. So if you are newly arrived to our country and your English isn't that good, James will speak to you, give you the news in a language that you will understand, so he claims anyway. At 9 o'clock tonight, Clara Bingham is back from a tour of the hurricane-ravaged areas of Florida. She will give us her thoughts and feelings and impressions. And following the weekend, on Monday, we'll have Vernon Dozier, head coach of Belmar Academy, and also Earl Pants returns with Car Talk. Just a little brief thing that we're going to get into, just a look at the news. In the Twin Cities of Minnesota, in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul, our show is heard on the weekends on KSTP. We're very proud to be on KSTP. And my listeners in the Minneapolis, St. Paul area might be interested to know that today I had a message on my answering machine in the office from a member of the WCCO radio staff, where I used to work, asking me if I'd love to be a part of an 80th on-air anniversary that they're having, and they would like me on the air for 10 minutes. And I looked down after the message was concluded, and I noticed the numbers 3 and 6 on my push pad for my phone, and I hit both of those because that's what deletes messages. Now, I got an idea. How about, this is stupid. I don't even know why I'm bringing this up, but I was sitting outside, and I noticed it was getting darker. And I was getting depressed because the days are getting shorter. Now, the days get shorter and it gets more depressing when? I'll tell you when. When everybody's working. So not only are you working, but the days are shorter, it gets darker earlier, it gets more depressing earlier because, you know, you need the sun to keep that brain chemical going, whatever that is, that vitamin D, right? Don't people get depressed if they're not around the sun enough? And during a period of the year when you most need the beautiful light of the sun, what are you getting? You're getting darkness. And I remember, speaking of Minneapolis, when I worked there, I worked a very late night shift. Often they would punish me if I did something wrong on the air. They would stick me on the overnight just as a way of, this is what they did. They would punish me. So I would be getting on the air at 11 and getting off the air at, like, I don't know, 6, because they had me, like, doing these six-hour air shifts, and so I'm doing all these fake character voices for 6 hours, and I'd walk out of it with no voice, and it would be dark out, and then I'd sleep all day, and when I got up to go to work, it's still dark. And it was like by, oh, I don't know, January, I wanted to just do the old Ernest Hemingway shotgun cleaning thing. I just wanted to, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that I was cleaning and I didn't know the barrels were in my mouth. And then, on top of everything else, like in January, I got the worst cold of my life. So, then how about if we flip it around? We have daylight savings in the winter, huh? What's wrong with that? Well, what about the summer, Phil? Isn't it more logical? Well, no, man, because in the summertime, you're kicking it anyway. You're in your pool at 8 o'clock at night. Who cares if the sun's out or not? You're getting up early and you're, you know, running around. So we have the daylight savings in the winter when I need the sun, and in the summer when it's going to be hot as hell anyway, man. Like 8 o'clock at night, it's already 8 million degrees. You need the sun out. How much of that sun do you need anyway? Good God. Especially teams like the Diamondbacks, you know, they're playing in Phoenix. They got a night game. Maybe it cools down a little sooner. They're starting a night game, say, at 7:30, and it's 46 million degrees. How does that work, man, playing baseball in Arizona in the summer? They got a dome? Oh, okay. Well, that's, what about and then there's the Cardinals, man. Don't they play at that Tempe Stadium? They ain't got no dome. Why don't the Diamondbacks let the Cardinals get in on that dome stuff? They're wearing 48 million pounds of pads. They're out there in September with home games. It's a beautiful day for football here in Tempe, about 160 degrees. We got a few players who've just been taken off. Looks like we got another one of those stringer incidents. Guys' eyes are bleeding. So it's a great day for a ball game. Yeah, fine. Anyway, that's just an idea that I had, and it doesn't make any difference to me. All right, now on to some of our news. And as I said, we have James Hudnall coming up with news for newly arrived immigrants. We also have Walking Through the World with Frank Chubb, Clara Bingham coming up at 9 o'clock. 4 years ago, Dr. Farouk Khan of Jericho was won over by candidate George W. Bush's stand against racial profiling. Today, the president of the Islamic Center of Long Island said he feels betrayed by the post-September 11th Republican administration and will vote for anyone but Bush. No one feels safe anymore, said Khan. To see a prominent Muslim educator like Yusuf Islam prevented from entering the country says to all the moderate Muslims, you're all the same to us. Khan is not alone in his view. American Muslims will vote overwhelmingly against Bush, largely as a result of anxiety over the erosion of civil liberties and the direction of the war on terror, according to a new poll conducted by Zogby International for Georgetown University's Muslims in the American Public Square. Well, that's got to be the most unbiased poll I've ever heard of in my life. Zogby International, isn't that run by an Arab guy? Can I say something, and you don't have to believe me? If you vote for John Kerry, Senator Kerry, if you're a Muslim and you vote for Senator Kerry, he's just telling you what you want to hear. It's going to get worse, and I'll tell you why. Because the terrorist attacks will get closer to home under Senator Kerry, and people's anti-Muslim mindset will get worse as the result of the senator's well-meaning, but ultimately disastrous idea on how to conduct the war on terror, which he really doesn't have an idea on how to conduct the war on terror, other than to say he's now going to go after Osama bin Laden. By the way, the last guy you want to go after now is Osama bin Laden. The guy you want is that Sawari guy. You dig how, I like how Senator Kerry is like, he's all over this, man. He's right on top of it, right? We got to get Osama. No, that ain't the guy you want to get. You got to get the Zarawi guy. This cat is running the show now. Osama is retired, man. He's in a hot tub in a cave. He's done, baby. He wants nothing more to do with it. He's scared to death. He's not running anything. Last thing he wants to be is a martyr. He wants everybody else to get martyred. He wants to enjoy the millions that Daddy Poo left him. Well, there's still time to enjoy it. As soon as that 9/11 job happened by these cats that lived in the States, and suddenly Osama was taking all the credit, he realized, wait a minute, these Yanks are serious. They're coming after me. He went into the deepest hole he could find. Now that Zawari guy is the guy that's running the show. He's the guy that you want. Guess who we're going after right now, by the way, under the present administration? Zawari. I got something I'm going to read to you. Well, I won't even read it, but we've got his top lieutenant in custody, and they've been cutting off fingers very slowly and getting information from him. If you're a Muslim American, if you're a Muslim and you're an American, and you believe that you're being profiled, I don't know what to tell you other than to say you're not. Because if you were, then every Muslim would be in jail. Doesn't that stand to reason? See, if every Muslim was being profiled, then every Muslim would be getting pulled over, brought in for questioning, and ultimately detained. It ain't happening, baby. It ain't happening. The problem with Cat Stevens, Mr. Islam, as he's known these days, is that he had given to some charities that have ties to terrorist organizations. I'm not saying the guy knew it. His brother said, well, you know, the country has to be safe, but he wasn't aware that his money was going to terrorist organizations. So that's why he got on this list. Now, is it fair to say, because I mistakenly gave money to a group that sponsors terrorism, that therefore I should be kept out of a country? It's probably not fair, but in the present climate, it's all we can do. He's not an American citizen. We are not, guys, I don't know where they get this idea. We're supposed to let everybody in here. We're just not. And does anybody else other than me find it ironic? And ultimately articulate in how it speaks of where we are today, that a guy is saying we're not safe. Why is that, sir? Because you can't just get into America like you used to. You digging that? Do you find that like crazy? That's crazy ironic, man. We aren't safe anymore. Yeah, why? Because I just can't get into America where it's not safe. Huh? Hey, if you're getting profiled, why do you want Cat Stevens in the country? He's going to get profiled. If you look close enough at what people say, you will see that there's no sense being made by people that are arguing against the war in Iraq or the war in terror. It's just, there's no sense. I mean, listen to this guy, man. And if it's true that 76% of all American Muslims are going to vote against George Bush, they're the most misinformed people probably in the history of this country. That's an entire segment of our population that has been so utterly misinformed. And frankly, they haven't taken responsibility for their own education. It's total insanity to say, hey, man, I'm getting profiled. Yeah, that's really bad. Yeah, and they won't even let Yusuf Islam into the country where he can get profiled, too. What's that joke that Woody Allen tells about the old ladies up there in the Adirondacks? They said the food here sucks. Yeah, and the portions are so small. There you go. This contrasts sharply with the 2000 election when Mr. Bush garnered 42% of Muslim votes versus 31% because I guess they thought he was a cool guy then, but now they think he sucks because, well, some cats flew some planes into some buildings. We've got to protect the country, and the guys that did it were Muslim, and some of these charities, you know, donate to terrorist organizations, and we got to start somewhere, and we make mistakes, and we're trying to protect our country, and we're not perfect, and I haven't seen anybody, you know, there's no concentration camps, there's no gulags, I haven't heard yet of anybody being having their skin flayed from them, being hanging from cells, maybe over in Iraq where they deserve it, but even over there they're only getting underwear stuck on their heads. Now, I would be all in favor of them cutting fingers off over there, but they're not. They're only shoving underwear up a guy's face. Big wow. And depending upon who was wearing it, it might be a very pleasant experience. I'm kidding. And on top of everything else, your sister too. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Dig this. The anger and disillusionment with the current Republican administration is so great that the Muslim vote is largely unified. From what, man? What are you guys upset about? You know, in the middle of this war on terror, guess what happened? There's a church, there's a mosque back east, and they have a call to prayer now. For the first time in America, along with church bells ringing, you hear a cat going, whatever the hell they do, right? It's cool. If this is such a repressive and horrific thing that's happening to Muslim Americans, in the middle of this whole war on terror, there's a call to prayer being heard in mosques. And there's this knucklehead who says, no one feels safe. Why, we can't even get Yousef Islam in here not to feel safe. He's got to stay in Britain where he can feel like, you know, almost safe. Why can't he come to America where he can feel really unsafe?
Ha ha!
It's beautiful, baby. It's beautiful. Remember Tom Cruise and Taps when he had that machine gun? Yeah, I love it, man. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, James Hudnell's news for new immigrants who don't speak English. We'll also have a walk through the world if you're named Frank Chubb. And Clara Bingham joins us. She is just back from Florida with the Joyful Union Tour Group. She was there with Pastor William Renick viewing the hurricane devastation. She'll be talking with us here on The Phil Hendry Show at 1-800-449-8686. Our mailbag later on tonight, too. And by the way, if you'd like to mail us, our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Now the Phil Hendry Show presents news for our immigrant citizens, newly arrived, or illegals, newly arrived, who don't speak English. James Hudnell is a world traveler. He and his wife have been on many cruises all over the world. They're used to speaking to foreigners. Mr. Hudnell will now deliver the news to you immigrants so that you can understand it, because we realize it's difficult for you first navigating the shores of our great land. Mr. Hudnell has been on cruises to Alaska, the Mediterranean, Greece. He and his wife have just returned from a cruise to Tahiti. They also cruised New Guinea and Australia and a whole bunch of other crap I don't have time to tell you about. Let's just bring him in here. He's a great guy, James Hudnell. James, go on in.
Hey. Well, thank you. Yes, Doris and I, you can kill the music. Doris and I have traveled a lot of places.
And where is the most interesting?
Well, we did the Danube River Cruise.
Oh, that's fun.
And that's a lot of fun. And just a lot of things like that.
Well, go ahead and do the news, because you speak to a lot of foreigners, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, God. Oh, hell, yeah. Oh, J.C., yeah. That's how I say it, so my kids aren't upset, you know.
Well, you don't want to be a bad influence.
No, I don't. All right. Okay. All of you foreigners, listen here. Now, can you hear me? All right. John Kerry? You know, running for presidente, huh? Okay, he no like George Bush, yeah, you know that name, don't you? Yeah, he no like John Kerry, no like George Bush, he no like him.
And now the weather.
Lot of rain coming down. Yes, yeah. Agua, huh? Savvy? Yeah.
And now for sports.
You know baseball, huh? Baseball, America, Yankee, hey, woo, right, huh? Swing the bat, huh? Okay. Baseball, you know, swing the bat. Dodgers. Los Angeles, huh? Yeah, right? Okay. San Francisco, Gigante, Giant, big player, baseball, woo! All right.
And now tourism news.
Florida, alligator, big wind, woo!
Yeah, blow down casa, get blowed down.
Elian Gonzalez, right? No, Elian, little boy, huh? Cuba, huh? Cuba? You're right. Anyway, down there, big wind, but whoo, they call the wind Mariah. You ever hear that one? And they call the wind Mariah. Maria, Mariah, huh? Okay, yeah. You see that one? Paint your wagon. Clint Eastwood, bang, bang, right? Good. James Hudnell, world traveler with news foreigners can understand newly arrived in the United States of America. Capiche? Huh? Capiche? Savvy? All right. Thank you, Mr. Hudnell. That was great. Well, we're going on another one. We're doing the Windjammer. Huh?
Oh, well, that's great.
We're doing the Windjammer to Greece. Jay, see it anyway. Well, there's Mr. James Hudnell. That was very enlightening on how to talk to foreigners. And it is true. The louder you talk, suddenly English. Oh, yeah, now I get what you're saying, man. Just say it louder, huh? Like Bobby Dooley when she was in France. My doll. I need my doll. All right, 1-800-449-8686. By the way, there is a, on many news sources, there is a detailed outline of Senator Kerry's plan to fight terrorism. And I read it with great interest, and I read all of it. And I'm not kidding you. Believe me. Read it yourself. It's not a problem. You don't have to take my word for it. The cat is saying everything that he's going to do, Bush has said he's going to do. So I'll give an example. First, I will build a stronger, smarter military and intelligence capability to capture and kill our enemies. President Bush has already stated he wants to do that. You see, here's the thing. You got to get bread from Congress to do all of this. Yee-hoo! You got to get bread from Congress to do all of this. And if there's nothing but Republican guys, forget it. He said, as president, I will expand our army by 40,000 troops. How are you going to do that? You're not going to do a draft. You have to raise the pay, and you have to induce more soldiers. And by the way, it isn't so much a bigger army. It's a better trained army. The army that we've got right now, these guys that are, you know, we're wetting their pants over there. And I shouldn't say that. Let me back up. Let me say this again. Some of the army soldiers that we saw in Iraq needed to have a little bit, I think, better training. He says, I will strengthen our intelligence system. This guy in two separate areas says, I will strengthen the intelligence. So, in other words, his plan is like Bobby Dooley. First, I don't want guns on campus. Second, there shouldn't be guns on campus. So he already said he was going to strengthen intelligence, and he comes back and says it again. He goes on to say, now, Dick, this is the one that's beautiful. As president, I will not subcontract the fight to the warlords who are out for nothing but power. I will help the government of Afghanistan expand its authority beyond Kabul to the rest of the country, which is what President Bush is trying to do right now. And to that end, by the way, he went to NATO to ask for help with the upcoming elections in Afghanistan. And guess what the French said? No, thank you. So the president has tried to help the people of Afghanistan, and our good friends, the Frogs, have, come through again. Coming up, our mailbag. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm joined now by Frank Chubb. Mr. Chubb has written a series of books on being born and being raised and moving through the world with the name Frank Chubb. And it's interesting to me, Frank, that down through the years you've come up with so many books on this, but obviously it's been a traumatic experience for you.
Well, it has, to a degree, been mostly a traumatic experience for myself early on, but as I gained the knowledge of myself, if I became more aware of myself, more self-actualized.
Well, the most recent book, Walking Through the World Named Frank Chubb, you go into what? You go into some memories, don't you?
I go into memories. I go into some horrible memories of school. I give you a story if you'd like.
Go ahead.
On my first day, I was at a new school. The teacher was, I'll never forget, a woman by the name of Mrs. Jones. She called my name during roll, and everyone laughed. And she said, Frank Chubb, like this.
Was she mocking you?
I don't think so. I think she was simply trying to make sure she had the name correct, because it is an unusual name. And I said, yes, I'm here. But she said, Frank Chubb. And when you're in a classroom full of young people, that was all the ammo that the other kids needed. And so the next day, when the teacher again called roll, as she went down the sheet of names and she came to mine, I was nervous because I know, oh, here we go. It's going to be Frank Chubb. And I winced the second I heard my name, Frank. I knew I would wince the second I heard my name, Frank Chubb. But as she got ready to say it again, there was a boy who was sitting behind me, and I, to this day I don't remember his name. I can't recall him. I can't even remember what he looks like, but the boy right behind me had been whispering and laughing. And as soon as she began to say my first name, he made his move. So what he said was, she says, Frank, and he immediately yells out, Hazza. And then she said, Chubb. You know?
All right, that's...
It's that kind of thing, you know, that...
So that's a cruel thing that children will do. So the kid... So essentially it was...
Frank Hazza Chubb, yes.
Okay.
So... do you find that amusing?
Well, no, sir. I, because it traumatized you, no, I don't. I can understand how children would laugh at that.
Well, that was all it took, and I had lost... I realized once she said, Frank, the little boy goes, Hazza, and she says, Chubb, I knew that I had lost all chance for friendship.
Now, you did 4 years in a juvenile detention facility between the ages of 10 and 14. Why?
Because of this incident.
Okay, it was related to this?
Yes. It was a moment in my life where I knew, as I said, I wasn't going to have any friends. And once the word got around, my chance of being just another kid at the school would be over. So I would forever be cursed, I guess, by that boy. And I remember looking and turning and looking at him and thinking, why would you do that to me, Frank? And he yells out, Hazza. Although, in retrospect, I appreciate the wit because it continued. The next year, Frank, and then a boy in gym class yelled out, Alada, and then the teacher said, Chubb. Frank Alada Chubb, you know. In any event...
Okay, so they were making fun of your name, but tell me about the time.
Well, the time in the juvenile detention was, after the boy had yelled out, Hazza, I turned around, and I had a number two pencil, and I shoved it into his eye.
Good God.
Yes. And I remember him screaming and leaping about the room. And I remember feeling good, you know, for the first time in my life, that someone had made fun of my name, but...
What you did to that boy is horrible. Did you go through any psychiatric counseling when you were in juvenile detention?
Well, to ask the question, did I go through any psychiatric counseling, is to assume that I needed psychiatric counseling. And
don't you find that reaction to be a violently extreme and almost psychopathic?
Well, I can tell you the only time I've been in detention was in juvenile detention. I've never been behind bars since that time, and I'm not a criminal. I have no police record other than that very unfortunate time in my life. So even to this day, I work with children.
You work with children where?
I have a series of daycare centers. And so...
This was expunged from your record, this act of violence?
Yes, it is, when you're 18, yes.
So you drove a pencil into a kid's eye, you went into 4 years of juvenile detention, and then you came out and you've been completely clean since.
Yeah, but let's remember that I've lived my life with the name Frank Chubb. And, you know, I, to this day, resist the temptation when someone, if I'm at a barbecue... And someone says, oh, here come Frank wants a chop, you know, and they make fun of my name like that. I resist the temptation. I have fantasies. I have gruesome fantasies of what I would do to people. But I never act on them, and that's what the doctor had told me when I got out. And, you know, even the nurse in my doctor's office, she comes out, she says, is Mr. Whole Lotta Chubb here? And she goes, oh, if they all, and I can laugh at it now, but... I will tell you this, now that I am working with children, and I take my job very seriously.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
You know, don't call you, don't make fun of your name.
No, don't make fun of my name now, because I work with children, and if I go off now, I'll lose my license. And I can put up with all kinds of humiliation. You can call me a whole lot of chub or whatever, but...
All right, Frank, your book is called... Walking Through the World Named Frank Chubb. It's available in bookstores everywhere. And it tells the story of a young man growing up with an unusual name, Frank Chubb, and the kinds of jokes that they made.
Right, and by the way, I should mention this because it's kind of a funny anecdote. I've never been in prison since the time I was detained. I was remanded to into police custody for several hours, and the police released me as the result of a barroom fight that I had. And that was as the result, Phil, of I had come into the bar to meet some friends, and there was this gentleman there who had a little bit too much to drink, and they said, "This is our friend Frank Chubb," and he says, "What's your middle name?" Tiny. And the result of that comment alone, I was remanded into police custody as the result of some rather striking violence that was committed that night in that barroom.
But you were released by the police?
Yes, I was, later on that night, yes.
So whatever happened, were you beaten up? Was he beaten up?
Oh, I can assure you that I was not the one beaten up, no.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Chubb, for joining us.
It's always my pleasure. Thank you.
Frank Chubb, who's had to endure all kinds of nicknames. And he, if I'm getting the man correct, he just don't even go there with this cat, because he's going to bring down the pain in a large way. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be having Clara Bingham on at 9 o'clock on touring the hurricane devastation in Florida. And also on Monday night after the weekend, Vernon Dozier will join us in Earl Pants Car Talk. The Stephen Bozell for President t-shirt available on our website is a great way to, I don't know, great way to kind of make it through this election season, right? I mean, I hope you guys vote, and I hope you take it serious, and I hope you're, you know, getting hep on all of the issues. But while you do it all, wear your Steve Bozell for President t-shirt, because, you know, Steve has got the plan, baby. The way to get elected president, you just tell people if you don't vote for him, he'll sue you, right? So that's the Steve Bozell for President 2004 t-shirt. Says right there, vote for me or I'll sue you. It's available on our website at www.philhenryshow.com, along with all the other great merchandise we have, our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirts. These are one other website, you know, operated by a radio personality. It sells you stuff you can wear out to dinner with your wife. I mean, I'm not kidding you. These bowling shirts are that class. We got the Honolulu shirt or the regular Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. Also have our Citizens Auxiliary Police windbreakers, belt watches. We have the fitted flex baseball cap for the CAP. Bobby Dooley has her tote bag and the spa robe, and we got all the polo shirts from Western Estates. Go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com. Hey, maybe you can get some back-to-school stuff there. Honest to God, that Western Estates polo shirt, the school may not kick you out if you just cover up the Western Estates part as you walk in, you know.
What are you covering up there, jeans?
Nothing, sir. It's isn't this appropriate blue?
Yes. Why is your hand over your chest like that, over that what could be a Western Estates logo?
Oh, no, nothing. I just had a little angina, a little heart problem. I know I'm only 10, but it's just a little painful, you know, right up there. How about that back-to-school belt for a back-to-school watch for the belt? Yeah, that's a great idea. Have the kid wear that watch, and that way he can look down and go, oh, it's almost time to split. You know. So it's on our website, www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Jeff Dowder joins us for just a very brief overview. I didn't know we would have the opportunity to get Jeff on the air tonight. He has been following the campaign, and along with Margaret Gray, and a lot of people have been helping us with the campaign. And Jeff joins us tonight from Pasadena, where he is also a assistant professor of mechanical physics at Caltech. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, considering Phil is... Well, you know, been a pretty busy time right about now on elections and everything.
Okay, we're talking about John Kerry's image. I've been hearing people say that with the debates coming up, he's got to be likable. People got to like him.
Without a doubt, I think it's the most important aspect to Senator Kerry's persona. I think is the likability, and to that end, you know, what he needs to do more than anything is to show the American people he's human. And also to appeal to his younger voter base, and it's kind of kicking around some ideas. You know, Toby Bowe, who's, you know, Toby Bowe, a friend of mine from Mint Canyon.
Yeah, I know Toby. Yeah. Is he not, he's not in school or anything?
No, he lives up in Mankato. Basically, what he does, he's a Packard. He prepares Packers. He's got a lot of... But we were talking about it, and I said to him, I said, you know, what Kerry needs to do is talk about personal things. Like, you know, what about sex positions and stuff? You know, I'm just talking...
What do you mean sex positions?
Well, see, I'm spitballing. What I'm trying to say is, if he would get up there and talk about, hey, I'm John Kerry, I'm a regular guy, you know, Teresa and I, we did, you know, wheelbarrow last night. It was, you know, it's awesome. Woo! You know, anything to try to loosen him up.
Well, wait a minute, man. That's not going to play with the voters.
But he's got to get past this image problem he has of looking like Dr. Death. Like, you know, he's walking out going, can I show you the oak casket now? I mean, you know, dude, in fact, Toby, hey, Toby, you want to tell him or you want me to tell him? Yeah, he's like asleep. But anyway, Toby goes, and I won't say, okay, I'll try to keep it clean, okay?
Yeah, keep it clean.
All right, okay. You know that there's a certain number divisible by 3 that people use to refer to a certain, shall we say, intimate act.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
All right, so he comes out, he goes, hey, folks, you know, Kerry could come out and go, hey, I know you know about blank blank, you know, that number, but last night we were 57-ing. Okay, because a Heinz 57. So Teresa and I were like doing a 57. And
will you bug off? And wasn't he in an arcade? Didn't I hear arcade? Hey, yeah, hey, hi, I'm John Kerry. Hey, we were just doing a 57. 1-800-449-8686. American forces in Iraq have just captured Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. What's this guy? Zarqawi's senior lieutenant. Now, this is according to my sources in the Middle East. Now, this guy who they just captured, they have questioned him. And let's be clear about something, by the way. The Constitution of the United States of America guarantees you certain rights. We believe that all men have these as unalienable rights, unless, of course, they're a criminal or inalienable. But the Constitution of the United States guarantees its citizens' rights. We also observe something called the Geneva Convention, which has to do with prisoner of war status, the treatment of civilians, and so forth. Beyond that, we're not signatory to anything that tells us we have to treat some guy, you know, we got to remember his birthday and come in with a cake with candles on it. And when you're dealing with Al-Qaeda, there's only one way to deal with these guys when you're questioning them, and that is, okay, first your pinky finger's going to go. You know that, right? Now comes the next finger, and until all the digits are severed and still you start talking. So I have no doubt in my mind, and I'm happy to know, that our when they say Americans were interrogating a terrorist, I'm sure that's exactly what they're talking about. Except, of course, Saddam. They got to keep him looking good, because then he's going to be on TV, and he's going to be all beat up, and he's going to go, and the Americans kicked my ass and everything.
Did they really, Mr. Hussein?
Yeah. Although he wouldn't do that. Hussein's too tough. But anyway, under questioning, he revealed that the number one terrorist in Iraq has set his sights on a huge terrorist operation that will top the September 11th attacks in the United States in scale and destructiveness. This is under questioning, the number one terrorist in Iraq, according to his lieutenant, who is being held by American forces, has a big terrorist attack in store. So this is why I say, when Senator Kerry, as well-meaning as he is and as late in the game as he is coming to this whole anti-terror thing, when he talks about getting Osama, that guy is way, way behind the ball, baby. It ain't Osama anymore. That's what I'm saying, you know? Like, a year ago, I remember saying on the air, I had a caller. He goes, what do you think the number one issue is? I believe it's security and the war on terror. I go, no, Phil, it ain't that, baby. It's the economy, man. It's the economy. 9/11's in the past, and this war in Iraq is bullcrap. American people care about the economy. Well, guess what? I mean, every poll you look at, this is going to hinge on the war on terror. This election is going to hinge. We see, in other words, coming up to this thing, we were talking real brave.
Well, I want to get back to the business of America. Let's find out about the economy, and then we're going to find out about whether or not we're, you know, the stock market is up. And
you know, we were pretending like we weren't scared. Yeah, huh? Sure. We know where, you know, we know which side of the bread the butter's on, baby, and we know which side of the bread the egg's going.
You kick me off the air and you say some lame crap like that?
Bug off. So, it's all about the war on terror. And Senator Kerry's people have suddenly recognized that. And now, here in the 11th hour, they're hitting it hard, baby. I mean, are they hitting it hard or what? Here's how I'd win the war on terror. And here's how I'd go even further than Bush. And I would kick ass over here. And I would kick ass over there. And I would kick ass all around town, baby. And I got a national security advisor, so we're going to kick ass in Iraq, even though we shouldn't be in Iraq. And we're going to go where the terrorists are, even though a lot of them are in Iraq. We're going to just pretend like they're not. I don't know. But the point being, at the 11th hour, he's going to try to sell this to the American people. I have no doubt Senator Kerry is a good guy, and I think the cat served the country honorably in Vietnam. I ain't buying any of this Swift boat crap. I ain't buying that any more than I'm buying that clown in Texas that had all that stuff on Bush on the National Guard. I'm just talking about whether this guy is suitable to be president of the United States. The Democratic Party, our party, I'm speaking to all my Democrat friends now, our party blew it picking this guy. All right? I say we get behind Bush. In 4 more years, baby, it's going to be another election, and then we'll get our act together as a party, and then we'll put a Democrat in the White House. This ain't the time to start screwing around and playing it fast and loose with our country, man. Putting a cat in there, man, that doesn't know what he's even saying from one day to the next, okay? What, Jeff?
Well, no, if Kerry did the reverse wheelbarrow with his wife...
Yeah, thank you. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And as we said, Clara Bingham joins us. Clara is a middle school teacher and also first secretary for Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, California. And you have just returned. And by the way, if you have comments for Ms. Bingham, our number is 1-800-449-8686. And Ms. Bingham, first of all, welcome to our program.
It's always wonderful to be on with you, Phil, and we thank you for inviting us.
Can you tell me, you just returned from Florida on Wednesday, correct?
That is correct, yes.
And you were there with your group to see firsthand the hurricane damage?
That is correct, yes. We joined a group of 12 other denominational men's and women's clubs for 2 weeks. We were in Orlando, parts of the Gulf Coast. Our tour group we were working with was Suncoast Florida Tours, and I have to say, they make it very comfortable.
And you saw the damage done by Ivan, by Francis, by Charlie, the hurricanes?
Absolutely. We got to see, we got to see a lot of houses. There were no more than the basic frame of the houses left that we saw. We got to see in Tampa, St. Pete, an entire pier that had been torn from its pilings. We also had a talk with Mr. Jim Thomas, who is with the Weather Service, and he showed us some of the boat and seagoing vessels that had been washed several yards on shore. On that particular day, we stopped for lunch at a shrimp restaurant, which had actually been partially destroyed by one of the hurricanes. We told the man that we wanted lunch there.
What frame of mind is the owner of the... You went to this restaurant. What frame of mind was he in? Was he the owner?
Well, he had been told we were coming and that we would pay extra if we could watch him cook us lunch while he's standing in this restaurant. And you really have to see one half of the building had been torn from the foundation, and he let us take our picture with him, and we paid him extra to let us take his picture while he stood in this pile of debris that used to be this man's restaurant. So,
When you say we paid him money, you did what? You paid him extra?
Well, yes. We wanted to have the experience of being there in a restaurant that had been partially blown away by a hurricane. And so we let the man know we were coming and we would want to have lunch. And so he obliged us. And then we got to take his picture. I had my picture taken with him when I'm standing there. It was a picture the Reverend took of me standing there with a Florida Gator jersey on and this man standing there in this rubble. So,
boy.
It was very educational. And then we went further down. I think we were on I-95.
Were you on the Gulf Coast?
Yes.
That's I-75.
All right. Well, but we were at a place near Tampa.
Yeah, that's I-75.
All right. And when we were near Tampa, we saw an entire block of homes in varying degrees of disrepair and destruction. So we got out of the bus there, and we got some pictures. In fact, Phil, I wanted to say we're going to post on our church website a picture of myself and Reverend Rennick, who accompanied us, with this little girl who had just been given a stuffed toy of some kind she had been looking for in the debris, and her father had found it underneath a section of roof. And, of course, everyone is in clothing that they had on for 4 days, and she's in this dirty little dress, and it's filthy, and she's holding this little stuffed dog, and I said, I want to get my picture with her. And so we did that, and I just thought the entire experience was very interesting, very educational, and I would not have missed it to see these people digging through what used to be a house. You got to see it to believe it. It's really something.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Clara Bingham from Joyful Union Congregation joins us. There is a tragedy to this story that always follows stories where people lose their homes, you know, if you see that. Did you feel that? Did you see it?
Oh, well, Reverend spoke to us about that, and he reminded us, of course, that in the Bible, we learn that the lilies of the field neither toil nor sweat, but the Lord provided for them. And like these people in Florida, the Lord will provide for them, so you don't want to get too far into that kind of thinking. But you got to see it to believe it. One of the things the Reverend pointed out to me, we were driving down I-75, he said, Clara, you have to look at this. And I looked out the window, and there was a boat upside down. It looked like some kind of a fishing boat upside down, so I got a picture of that. And
well, if I could get back to the whole idea of tragedy.
Yeah.
Well, that's certainly understandable, saying that the Lord provides, but you still have the sadness of what you're seeing, right?
Well, you know, we tried not to concentrate on that too much because we don't want people, you know, taking advantage of it. One of the things you need to understand is we're in the state of Florida. Florida is a place. There are good people there, but Florida is well known. We had Mr. Jim Jeffries, who was a member of our congregation. He told a story about you go down to Florida, everybody's ready to pick your pocket. And I'm not saying that that was the case necessarily, but there are a lot of shady people there. So we didn't want people taking advantage of us. I had one woman to tell you a story, Phil.
Yeah.
I had a lady, we were getting a Coca-Cola at one of these convenience stores that still had most of its windows intact, so the man was in business. And this woman was there trying, she said, to get enough money to get a bus for her and her two boys. They want to get up to Virginia, where she had relatives. And Reverend had said to us that Florida, as I said, is a place of so many people. While there are people suffering, there are also people who will take advantage of the situation. So she told me this story, and she asked me if I had a few dollars. And I said to her, you know something? The Lord will provide for you. And I asked her if I could have my picture taken with her. And so we've got this that picture up on the website, too.
At any time, did you just look at these people, though, and say, these are Americans like me, and their homes are gone. This disaster is really nobody's fault.
Well, Reverend Rennick talked with us about that our first night in the motel, and he said, the Bible says if you sow the whirlwind, you reap it. And I would never say that the little children we saw had any responsibility.
Well, hold on. If you sow the whirlwind, you reap it. Now, that's a Bible quote, right?
That, Reverend Rennick said that.
And is that from the Bible?
I think he said it's from the, I don't know, but he said, if you sow the whirlwind, you reap it. I said, you know, that is so. If that is in the Bible, I think that's God telling us something very clearly. That when a large wind, such as the one we've seen, comes along, well, maybe you did something, you know, to cause it. But I just thought it was very interesting. I wasn't there to judge anybody. I wanted to get a lot of photographs, and we came back. I got a little keychain that shows the people water skiing there in Cypress, Florida. And I got some alligator thing. And the people had been told that we wanted them to make dinner at this one home. We stopped at this home, and we called ahead and told the people there that we were going to want to have dinner.
Is this a private home?
This was a private home, yeah.
So as you were traveling through Florida, you would call ahead to private homes to have them cook you dinner or to get something ready. Why the private homes?
Because that's where most of the damage, that you saw, I guess, the most dramatic damage to the homes. So we wanted to experience that, and we had them make us dinner so we could see what it was like to try to eat and survive in a home where, you know, three-quarters of your roof is gone, you know. And we were talking, and Reverend brought up the verse. He says, he who sows the whirlwind shall reap it.
And well, what does that mean? Does that mean that these people deserve it?
No, it doesn't mean...
Because that's when you say he... That's what I always thought, that he who sows the whirlwind shall reap. I mean, if you put out bad stuff happens.
No, that is not what it means, Doug. It's just a coincidence. Let's always remember the Lord will provide for these people. The Lord says that every hair on your head is numbered. And another thing, Reverend told us that a lot of these folks have insurance. And when you know that they got insurance, you're able to enjoy the tour a little bit more, you know.
So at no time did you feel sorry?
We were there to have a vacation. We went down there to enjoy ourselves. I got a great picture of an elderly man. In fact, Phil, it's on our church website. It's an elderly man. He's cutting a tree that had landed on his station wagon. And I said to Reverend, you have got to see this. And the tree had flattened his station wagon, and he had cut this. So we got photographs of that and all that, you know. But no, we're down there. People go to Florida to have a vacation. That's what we're trying to do.
All right. When our number 1-800-449-8686. I guess I'm having a little difficult time talking with you because if I was there and I saw that, I remember I was in Miami after Hurricane Andrew and I saw the devastation on the streets and everything, and the fact the traffic lights weren't working.
Well, I'll tell you something, Phil. We were driving through this neighborhood, and again, we had called ahead, and we told them we'd pay extra if the people would come out and let us take their pictures. They stood on their driveways. And so we used a cell phone. We called ahead, and a man down there, you know, the tour group went door to door and got these people come out. And
well, now, where was this?
I think it was down on the Gulf Coast.
Okay.
And so we're driving in the bus, and this one home was completely destroyed, while across the street the house was perfectly fine, and I got a little bit of a laugh out of that, you know. And so, you know, and they got insurance. So, no, it was relaxing for us. And remember, Phil, but
even with insurance.
No, but the Lord provides, and with the insurance money, and all this FEMA and all that, you know. And then we paid them to let us take our picture with them, and I told them they're going to be fine.
All right, Clara Bingham is with us, who's just returned from Florida, viewing the devastation with her church group. She is... located, based in the city of Bellflower, California, but they went down with a number of other men's and women's groups to view the devastation. They had people cook them dinner in different homes, and just to get the experience of, as she says, of what it's like to try to cook dinner and try to eat in a house where three quarters of the roof is gone. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I think that though that the thing she said that struck me is, if you sow the whirlwind, you reap it. And so they have insurance. Let's not feel too bad for them. We'll be back with more comments from Ms. Bingham and also from Pastor William Rennick of Joyful Union Congregation as they tell us about their experience in Florida, looking at the remnants, at the residue of the terrible Ivan, Francis, and Charlie storms. It's the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Building sandcastles in your mind. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm joined by Clara Bingham from Joyful Union Congregation. This is excuse the stupid question, Ms. Bingham. It's a Christian church, right?
Yes, we are Pentecostal, yes.
Okay, and you just got back from Florida where you saw the hurricane devastation. You say that the church group went down there for vacation?
We did, Phil. We have just concluded our fourth annual denominational drive, and we just needed a little relaxation. And Reverend Rennick had seen the news reports about the hurricane and so forth, and we wanted to go down and see this. And
but again, there was a lot of suffering.
But well, that's my understanding, and I found it very fascinating. And I would recommend that anyone go down, and you can get these people to. Come out of their homes. They'll take pictures with you. And again, I have to tell you that for a few extra dollars, they'll come out and do what you want them to do.
But okay, let me just take a phone call here because I fear that I want to ask you something, but I'm not putting it the right way. 1-800-449-8686. Marge, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Clara Bingham.
Yeah, Miss Bingham, I have a question to ask you.
Certainly, yes.
First of all, you say that you chose to go there. It was a vacation. You didn't go, your congregation or whoever this is, you didn't go to help these people. You went for a vacation.
Well,
the second question I have, I have two questions.
Reverend,
the
yes.
second question is,
Reverend,
you said
yes.
it was educational.
Yes, very
well,
much.
It didn't seem to me that you learned much at all, to be honest with you, except that you
is that a
were
question?
Anxious to pay these few people,
yes.
these people, to yes. come and take a picture. How many pictures did you take?
Is that
and
your
did you
question?
Ever try to help any of these people?
Is that your second question or your first
yeah,
question?
Yeah, it is my second
you
question.
You have two questions, and they're both the same question.
No, they aren't.
Well, yes.
The first question was what kind of a vacation could it possibly be
right.
for you to go through this through a state
that's been devastating?
No,
that's what you asked me the second time.
Okay. You know what? I don't care.
All right. Why don't we move past that? Yeah, let's move past that.
One or two questions.
Right.
Just answer any one of those.
Well, first of all, I'm not really sure what it is you want me to tell you, but I will say this, Reverend Rennick, who is our ecclesiastical leader and our pastor, has often said that consider the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor do they sweat, but the Lord provideth for them.
Well, you know
and
what?
When I went to Florida and I saw the...
Let's see if the lilies of the field, specifically Reverend Resnick,
are you Christian?
Taken care of.
Are you Christian?
Taken care of. You know what?
Are you a Christian
I'm
woman?
Not going to answer that. You know why? Because it doesn't matter what I answer.
Well, it sounds like you're hostile. It sounds like you're bigoted against Christians.
Excuse me. I am 71 years old and have been a Christian from the day I was baptized.
Well, then you are Christian.
But I can tell you that I wouldn't consider going to Florida to take a vacation
right.
and pay people
right.
whose homes have been devastated,
well,
who are looking for food, for water, for days,
right.
and consider that a vacation.
All right, let me jump in here.
And say that they're going to be taken care of
yeah.
like lilies of the field.
Let me jump in,
Marge.
Do you
know what you sound like?
I want to say, are you Lutheran? Because
you know
that,
what?
That
I'm not
really,
going to even discuss what I am with you.
But your bigotry, I think, needs
my
to be addressed.
My bigotry? Do you understand what you sound like, whatever your name is,
my
Clara?
My name is Clara, Mark.
Do you remember your name. You know what I want you to do?
I'm going to pray for you.
You know what? You don't
I'm
have to pray for me. You better get your
I'm,
whole congregation together
to
and make a
heart.
Trip to Florida to
and
help
to let the light
people,
shine into your
to
heart.
Help
well,
these people.
I'm going to jump in. Hold on, ladies. Marge is making a very good point. We often hear of church groups going and helping, and I haven't heard you say that.
Well, Reverend Rennick tells us that every time a church group tries to relax, everybody hoping they're going to come and bail us out. You know, why can't we go somewhere for a change and just, you know, like the kids say, chill and take some pictures and have some shrimp?
And you decided to do that in a place that you didn't
yeah.
go to a lovely resort. You went to a place where people were wanting and needing, and it was devastating.
It was where are you going to look? I did not go there to look at people suffer. I went there to look at what it looked like when a car gets flipped over and everything.
You asked me if I was a Christian.
Well,
I
know you're not a Christian. You're very bigoted against you.
I suggest. You look into your heart and soul.
I'm
going to
pray for you tonight, and I'm going to ask God to bring love into your heart.
Don't pray for me. You waste your prayers for me. I don't need them.
God,
you pray for all those people, everybody that you paid to take a picture with.
I paid those people. I don't need to pray for them. I paid them. You know,
I paid them. You don't need to pray for them.
Our religion.
You know what? I have to tell you something. I can't even. This woman is a lunatic.
I'm going to ask a question. When you say.
What I believe the Bible tells us very clearly, you know, what those that have, them that got shall get, those who do not shall lose. And what that means is this.
I don't need to pray for a man
I just laid a $50 bill on to watch him cut a tree off his car. That's all I'm saying.
All right. You gone? Marge is gone. I think there's some misunderstanding.
If I could, I just want to take a moment, and I want to say to our Lord Jesus, please, bring peace to Marge so that when you decide to take her, she has a chance to join you in heaven. Because her bigotry and her hatred came through very quickly.
Well, I got to interrupt your prayer.
No, but I am praying, if you wouldn't mind.
Fine, but then I've got to comment on your prayer.
Well, the Bible tells us that a man spews from his mouth what is least in his heart. So,
well, I don't have anything to spew, ma'am, but I didn't hear any hatred there. Let me just put it that way. 1-800...
But I would like to finish my prayer if I could.
Go ahead. I get our number out, 1-800-449-8686. Go ahead.
Lord Jesus, Marge is filled with such bigotry and hatred toward, and I'm sure a lot of it's racial. She can tell that I am a black woman. But please, God, don't let me hate her. Let me love her as I do. We went to Florida. We want to go down and get a shrimp sandwich or what have you. And what we found there was fascinating, and often we've learned. But that doesn't mean we hate anyone. I do not hate anyone. And I hope, Marge, wherever you are, God will free you from the chains of bigotry and hatred and racial animosity. And all of the reading that you've done of the Nazi Party, all of that will go away.
All right, I got to take a break, Miss Bingham.
I'm very sorry, Phil.
No, I got to... Our number, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Clara Bingham from Joyful Union Congregation on a trip to Florida to see the hurricane devastation. It was a vacation. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I'm joined by Clara Bingham of Joyful Union Congregation, one of several church groups that toured the state of Florida after the hurricane. You called it a vacation. Now, you told me something interesting during the break, Clara, that you need to share with my audience.
Well, Phil, people are very quick to judge, and I did not want to preempt what people were saying, but I want to say to everyone listening that we took a number of photographs in Florida of the hurricane damage. We have one of a man, as I mentioned, a man cutting a tree off his car. These photographs have been brought back to California with us. They are going to be mounted 5x7s. We have a variety of different pictures, and we will sell these at our next sidewalk art sale for Joyful Union. The proceeds from this sale will go to help us in our various church projects. So I think it's clear that while we did go to Florida to relax, and we did have an interesting time there, everything we did there we bring back to try to help people.
Well, you're bringing back these pictures. You're going to sell pictures of... What are some of the pictures you have?
We have a picture. I told you a picture of the man cutting a tree off his car. That was very amusing. I think it's very whimsical of a man. The tree has flattened his car, and he's... there's a boat upside down, as I mentioned. There's a beautiful picture we have of a big sign that says, "Go home, Ivan," which is the way the people talk, you know, trying to get the hurricane out of there. As if the hurricane can read English, you know. It's cute things like that. Palm trees are upside down. We had a picture of a man and woman who are camping out where their house used to be. And if you think about it, and you know, the Lord gives us a sense of humor for a reason. Think about a man who had a home and now he's camping out, you know, in the very place where his kitchen used to be. You know, that's the kind of thing. So,
and then you're going to sell these and use the proceeds for church projects.
That is correct, which include youth projects. It includes work with underage pregnant teenagers. It includes work with drug addicts. It includes work with crack addicts, this kind of thing. So we do a great many wonderful things in our church.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Back to the calls. Andre, you're on the air here with Clara Bingham. Welcome to the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Yes, sir.
I don't understand this lady, first of all. First, she says she's a Christian, okay, which I obviously believe, whether she's, you know, confused or whatever.
You're
saying that you're going to go to a place where people just lost their homes, people got hurt, people lost their lives, and you're going there to take pictures to bring them back to help your church and your church's cause. Are those the people that you should be helping as a Christian? And you get, well, you know, first so of all,
the most stupid thing is you're
sitting there talking about God.
You know?
This has nothing to do with God.
It has
nothing to do with God. This has to do with Americans, people here in this country that have lost and are hurting. And if you are so, if you're so much a Christian, you should understand that. And you don't go to a place where people just lost and hurting and go there to take pictures. You go there to help. And if you want to take a vacation, you go somewhere else.
As a grown woman, a so-called
Christian, how can you go to a place where there's devastation and have say you're having a good time?
All right, hold on for a minute, Andre. Clara?
You know, you're very young, brother, and I will say this. God has everything to do with everything. You can't say God has nothing to do with a hurricane, a volcano, in your life or my life. And I believe that the Lord is looking out for those people, and they got insurance, too. You know,
you are missing the point.
FEMA and all of that mess.
You are missing the point.
What about the fact that you went there, Ms. Bingham, and didn't reach out to these people?
Well, first of all, I think you have to understand. I don't know if Andre has been to Florida. There are a lot of scam artists down there.
You don't go there with those kind of intentions.
Yeah, but
you're a Christian.
Well, Andre, yes,
you don't go there with those kind of intentions.
Saying,
this is not the time to thinking about those kind of things. And if you know what? If you're worried about that, then you shouldn't be there in the first place.
Well, no,
Because your reason for going there is misplaced in the first place.
Well, we went down to relax. And
these people are hurting. You don't go there to relax.
You go there to help, or you don't go at all. Were you
going to
lay on the beach while these people are picking up the pieces of their lives?
We went down. We had a shrimp dinner one night, which was enjoyable. We paid the man extra, so he opened up his restaurant.
What is amusing about seeing a couple have it in a tent where their home used to be? What is amusing about that? Why would you want to take a picture of that?
Well, I'm simply saying this man, and you see this this white man. He is cooking himself coffee over a campfire where his kitchen used to be.
There's nothing amusing about that.
You know what I'm saying? But look, let me say this because I understand what this young man. Number one, I Reverend Rennick often says to us, every time a Christian man comes down the street, everybody got their hand out, you know. Everyone stick their hand out for the Christian man. Now, there are a lot of other folk down there who are not Christian. Are they helping out?
There are a lot of people. This has nothing to do with Christian. This has nothing to do with none of that nonsense you're talking about.
This is totally off base.
You're totally off base. No, people need help.
Okay,
before you worry about who's Christian and who's Catholic,
maybe you should worry about human beings.
Let me, Andre, every time I say to someone I'm a Christian, they, now, can I get some money out of you? You know, they're always trying to put the touch on.
For me to hear, I'm 25 years old.
Are you Christian?
For me to hear an adult woman calling herself a Christian and saying these
things. Let me ask you something. Are you Christian? Are you a Christian? No, you're not a Christian because that means somebody put the light touch on you if you're Christian. Now, you jamming on me because I'm a Christian.
I'm not jamming on you.
Well, now, you saying to me
that you are off base, okay?
Now, you're saying you're a Christian.
That's like me saying I'm going to go to Haiti and have a good time, okay? When people are hurting, you don't do that.
I don't know Haiti. I don't know what you mean by Haiti.
If you're a place where people are hurting, you're going to go to help.
What do you mean by Haiti? What do you mean by that?
Thank you. Good night.
Hello? Okay. What does he mean by Haiti?
Haiti, the country where people are hurting.
What is wrong with it?
There's AIDS. There's everything. There's a hurricane.
Well, you know, we were planning on doing a Caribbean tour. Is that someplace that?
No, you don't want to go to Haiti. In fact, I don't even think they'll let you. I don't know. Marilyn, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Oh my! First, I'd like to start off by saying I validate the caller's opinions ahead of me. Second off. I'd like to...
Are you Christian?
These are comments, by the way, ma'am. I don't have a question for you.
Are you Christian?
I've been listening to you talk, okay?
You understand what I'm saying, because the Bible tells us.
I don't want to go there with you.
Unto all men, all things will be given. Knock, and ye shall receive. But if you want to sit on your ass, you know, excuse my language, cooking coffee where your kitchen used to be, God's not going to help you.
May I speak now?
Go ahead, Marilyn.
Would this be
some
time, ma'am, that you could please quiet yourself? Are you able to do that?
Is this how you talk to your colored maid?
I'm gonna tell you
that's
something.
That's not necessary.
No, but she's used to talking to black folks that way. That's all right.
No, I'm not. I don't care if you're black, white, or purple. As a matter of fact, I have a stepbrother that is black. Now, let me tell you something, lady. You are the furthest thing from a Christian I have ever heard. You sound more like Satanism. And I'm not kidding.
I'm going to pray for you.
Don't you ever pray for me because I think you're evil.
I'm going to pray to Jesus that he removes the hatred from your heart.
Because your God is not the same God as mine.
You know,
my God believes in compassion.
You have a black stepbrother. We're practically related. You have a black stepbrother. So
you don't let people talk, do you? And I've been listening to your double talk, by the way.
I have to ask Ms. Bingham to please allow the caller. Because
I just want to know, I'm going to pray for her.
Okay, fine, you pray for her, but just go ahead, Marilyn. Say what you want to say, and
yes.
Ms. Bingham.
All right, say what you want. If I pray for you while you talk, is that all right?
Oh, it's so not okay, because, see, you understand, we don't have the same gods. My God is the God of compassion and understanding.
God, please release her from the hatred that she...
Ms. Bingham, pray to yourself, not audibly, so we can hear it.
Yeah.
You know, that's America today. You pray out loud, and they tell you...
Language. Watch the language.
I'm sorry.
Did you hear the word?
Communication.
Yeah, you hear the word that she used. That was, and she's criticizing my communication.
All right, she misspoke.
That's kind of what's coming out of your mouth.
We're going to get past it.
We're going to go right past
it.
That's right. I have heard you really use covert communication.
Yeah.
You turn things around that you, because you're black. I've never once heard you make a comment. I said, you know, everything that comes out of your mouth when you get in a corner. The Reverend said, or the Reverend told
Reverend Rennick is a spiritual leader, yeah.
I hear no compassion in your voice. I heard you use, it was fascinating.
It was very fascinating.
What in the world is wrong with you?
Marilyn, do you know in the Bible your name is a harlot's name? But I don't judge you by that. I do not judge you by that, but the name Marilyn...
You're prejudiced, huh?
In the Bible, the name Marilyn...
I think you're being prejudiced to me.
The name Marilyn is the name of a whore.
You're being prejudiced because of my name.
No, I'm not prejudiced against you.
Yes, you are.
I'm praying for you.
How do you like your own game back?
And I hope very much that God forgives you for the things you said tonight.
You know what? You and I have different gods, lady. Don't pray for me because you pray to Satan. Only
I got the white lady. I got the white lady upset,
though. How do you go through and see what you saw?
I got the white lady on the run now. I got her on the run.
Now, hold on, Frim. What do you mean you got the white lady on the run?
Now, she all pissed off.
You don't have me on the run.
Now, you all pissed off now. And which, by the way, you have no clue about the Lord. You swear with the devil's words. You got a whore's name.
All right. I gotta take a break here.
No, the white lady's on the run. The conversation's over. I win.
Oh, look at you. It's a game of who won.
Why don't you go have a black maid make you some of that real good, collard greens or something you like.
You know, baby, there's something wrong with you.
Whore's name, Sally.
You are lacking human compassion.
You just called me a blackie. Did you hear that?
I said.
No, I heard it.
No, she said I'm a blackie.
She said.
I did not call you that.
You most certainly did. I heard it, and everyone out there heard it. Marilyn is the name of a whore that seduced King Solomon, and she also made love to a mule.
Yeah.
Well, good for her.
Oh, man. I got to get out of this, man. This is, like, really hateful, and it's just not right. And,
I'm going to pray for it.
Get out of here. 1-800-449-8686. Thank you, Ms. Bingham, and your goofy, goofy sect. It's The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. I want to be a black youth leader. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, it's time now for our mailbag. At the end of the week, we like to take a look at what you guys have been sending us at phs@philhenryshow.com. phs@philhenryshow.com. Hello, Phil. I've been listening to you in Los Angeles now for 3 weeks. I recently moved here from New York City, and all I can say is that the Big Apple's really missing out on a quality show. I was dumbfounded by the first show I heard and couldn't believe that the guest that night was blaming Bush for the horrible conditions that our tenants had to live in. Then I figured it out. I couldn't wait for the next show. Very creative, very funny. Thank you, Dan Rather. No, Eric Singer, Westwood, California. So... we'll get on in New York one of these years. We were almost on in New York on WNEW, and then Opie and Anthony had to pull their stunt, and they blew the whole station up. You realize that we were due to be on in New York that September on WNEW, and Opie and Anthony stuck their big fat foots in the door of St. Patrick's Cathedral, and now I'm not on in New York, and they're on XM. Of course, they are going to be on Fox News, I think, one of these days, I think they're going to interview him because they're just ever so fresh. Sir, I'm a recently retired U.S. Army E-8, a first sergeant major. I was in combat arms unit infantry my entire 20 years. I was a drill sergeant for 3 years. I know and I've trained soldiers from active duty, from guard, and from the reserves. I like your show, and I can tell you, soldiers are soldiers. This guy's writing in response to this whole idea that National Guard cats didn't know they were going to be, you know, going to Iraq. Soldiers are soldiers. They all attend the same training. As a matter of fact, until graduation of training, there's absolutely no difference between reserve guard or active duty soldiers. If some people believe reservists and guardsmen signed up to fill sandbags in Mobile, they're misinformed and they're mistaken. A role of the guard is for home emergency response, but largely they are a contingent force for the state guard and the nation reserves. Thank you, Phil, for reading this. I know what I'm talking about. Brian Morrissey, First Sergeant, USA, retired. All right. There you go, man. That guy knows, see? Hey, Phil, I'm a big fan of the D.C. area. I'll be moving to upstate New York soon. Hopefully, I'll be able to tune in your show up there. Your attitude on the war in Iraq and George W. miff me. Supporting this war is one thing, but I can't understand why more Americans aren't infuriated with Bush and his cronies. This war has been waged with an arrogance and incompetence that is mind-boggling. Bush is incompetent because he went into Iraq without a plan to secure the peace. He's arrogant because he ignored all sorts of people who understood the need for a plan and tried to stress the importance of such a plan to him and those around him. Now we've got an absolute mess on our hands. Please reconsider your stance on this guy. Thanks for your time, Jim Perrin. Wait a minute. First of all, you know, just because you got a plan, baby, doesn't mean that it's going to go swimmingly. You know, hey, I got a plan. What's it going to be? Go in, kick ass. We had a plan. We had a plan, all right, and we still have a plan. The fact is, we've got an insurgent army that is fighting us. That's going to happen whether you've got the gold-plated plan. Number two, he ignored the advice of people. What advice was he getting exactly? All I heard was this: don't go into Iraq. Now all the cats had said, don't go into Iraq. Now they kind of maybe think it was a good idea, but it wasn't a good plan. In other words, this John Kerry argument is driving me out of my freaking mind, man. I'm going to shove a pencil into my own eyeball in a minute. You know, first they don't think we should go in. Then now that we're in and we actually took Hussein out and we actually are going to put him on trial and we actually are, you know, engaging Al-Qaeda right where they live. And by the way, they were there in Iraq before. Because they were part of Al-Ansar Islam. Now that we're doing that, now everybody's got a better idea on how to do it. Hey, you know what? Your time, man. You had your chance, baby. Now get on the sidelines, you and Senator Kerry and everybody else. Just get on the sidelines. Let our president finish this thing, because I can guarantee you this, there ain't anybody in this country who got a better idea or a better plan, including Senator Kerry, who just got his plan together last night. But anyway, Jim, thanks for calling, and thanks for writing. You're a sweet guy. Phil, I've been listening to you for 10 years. Right now, I'm hearing the low-voiced DJ Bob bit for the first time. I love it. I'm laughing out loud. Please make this guy a regular character. He's a really, really, really low-voiced, funny guy. Keep up the great work, Phil and staff. You're on for 3 hours in the mornings here in Vegas. Then again at 7 p.m. when your show isn't usurped by Major League Baseball. Thanks for the daily laughs. Just great, Tony Reynolds. Yeah, Bob is the low-voiced DJ who does love song dedications. Hi, Phil and staff. I bought one of these Steve Bozell shirts, and it has been less than 12 hours since I've had it on, and I'm already having a lot of inquiries as to who is Steve Bozell, or in some cases, who the hell is Steve Bozell. I'm wondering if there is a way I should represent Mr. Bozell, because I'm afraid if I don't do it correctly, I might get sued. Thanks, Joe Slack. He's a national repair technician. I guess you say Steve Bozell is this guy who is running for president, and if you don't vote for him, he's going to sue you. Where'd you hear about him? On the Phil Hendry radio show. And he's on daily, 7 to 10. You know, whatever kind of plug you want to do. Thanks for speaking. This is from Hunter. Phil, thanks for speaking the truth about the war on terror. I dig your apolitical honesty and your guts for standing up for our country. I hope there are plenty of us showing up in the voting booth on November the 2nd. Take care. Hunter Lynn. P.S. God bless Zell Miller. Hey, Phil, I've listened to your show for years now. The first time I heard it, you had someone on talking about all the fine black hosts at KFI in Los Angeles, like Dr. Laura. I'm hip to the show, but often find myself wanting to call up and argue with Steve Bozell, Bobby Dooley, or whoever's on. I have to stop myself. You're good. Keep it up, Nancy. Yeah, the fine African-American hosts we have, like Dr. Laura and Rush.
And of course, Rush Limbaugh.
All right, I gotta read these fast because we gotta get out of here. Hey, Phil, as a new Backstage Pass member, I've been listening nonstop to all the audio the past 2 weeks. Bud Dickman's become a favorite. I was wondering how exactly did he get the job and what does he do other than screw things up and snitch on you? Well, he's like, he went through a tree with his head and he's got a steel plate in his head, so we took pity on him. His Harley got wrecked. All right, well, you know what? I don't have time to read the last emails here, so I thank you very much for writing. PHS@PhilHendryShow.com. We'll include them in next week's mailbag. We'll be back on Monday night after the weekend with Vernon Dozier and Earl Pants Car Talk on the world famous, the show you've been supporting for all these years. I bless you for that.
God bless you.
Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous.